Well, thanks so much for having me. I tried to tell him, y'all been up since 4 in the morning, you're getting hungry. But I appreciate the opportunity to kind of give you a briefing on what's going on with the Texas Water Development Board. And also, I think first up, and this would be my main message, my late husband was a rice farmer, so I have a real passion for agriculture and hopefully maybe a little bit better, deeper understanding than most. You know, we're talking about technology today, and we're talking about data, and we're talking about funding, but none of that makes any difference unless we have the leadership and the people who are committed through ag to move forward and to make sure that we're able to feed our nation and our world. And I think sometimes people take for granted, you know, how fortunate we are to have you and what you do. You can go down the HEB or any grocery store in Texas and the nation and literally put everything in your grocery basket. You know it's safe. And the percentage that you're spending of your disposable income is less than anywhere else in the world. And that doesn't happen without, you know, the commitment and the passion that you have for what you do. So first and foremost, I want to thank you for that. And I want you to know that if there is a voice in Austin and a voice for you, hopefully you'll feel like that's me. And, you know, as I travel around the state and we talk about financing and what the Water Development Board is kind of up to, the other kind of thing that we're trying to do is get folks' thoughts and ideas. And I know previously we've had some speakers that have talked about regulation, and we've talked about, you know, how to go after the water and what's appropriate in terms of conserving it. But, you know, at the end of the day, it's about the supply. And we've got to come up with innovative ways to make sure that, you know, Texans across our state in cities are utilizing supply in their own backyard, that they're implementing different types of technology, desal and reuse and conservation. And quite frankly, that we're thinking about ways to recharge the aquifer, and we're thinking about our future water supplies, not just conserving what we have today, which, as you all know, I mean, the farmer, in terms of being a steward of the environment, there's no one that's more efficient than you are. The individual farmer today can be up to 98% efficient in the water that they use. But it's incumbent on all of us and communities across Texas to conserve the water, and then also, you know, as a state and a nation, for us to think about, you know, our future water supply and where that's going to come from. I just wanted to kind of, again, kind of share with you very quickly some work that the Water Development Board is doing that I think you would be very interested in. And, you know, Victoria talked about it a little bit earlier, and that was the work we're doing with HB 30. The charge that we got from the legislature was to continue the work that the Water Development Board has been doing, you know, for decades, and that is, you know, doing our BRACS study, going in and gaining a better understanding of brackish water across the state. We were charged with developing what's called productivity zones. In other words, those areas where you could go harvest the brackish water for a period of 30 to 50 years, but not impact the adjoining fresh water. From our mind, the greatest opportunity through House Bill 30 was not really associated with defining these productivity zones, but it was gaining a better understanding of the aquifer as a whole. And moving forward, the opportunity to be able to use brackish water doesn't need to be necessarily within these productivity zones. And as you well know, one of the things that was kind of exempted from defining productivity zones were areas across the state that were already using brackish water for agriculture. And so there was at least one situation where we received stakeholder input from members of the Agricultural Committee, information that we didn't have previously about the use of brackish water for ag, and it changed the way that we went out and we kind of defined those productivity zones. I think it's very important, and we're very, I think, blessed to have received, again, additional funding from the legislature to move forward with having this and gaining this better understanding of the aquifer by, again, moving forward with the brackish water. I'm kind of the engineer on the board, so I can't help myself. We talked earlier about the importance of having good data and information. And I firmly believe that the better the data, the better the science, the better the science, the better the policy. And so hopefully what we're doing as the Water Development Board, and as many of you know, we're not regulatory. I kind of feel like we wear the white hat. You know, our role is to kind of be that data repository for all water data for Texas. And it's so important that that be held by an impartial third party, and that that information be available in its raw format from a science standpoint, so it can be available to people who, so they can draw their own conclusions from whatever report is generated, and also that they can use this information moving forward to develop new technology. I think we see a lot of opportunity across the state, both in brackish. My husband used to say there's an ocean of water under Texas, Kathleen. It's just not all fresh. It's brackish. I think there's a tremendous opportunity there, and communities are seizing that to be able to utilize that as a water resource. We're also seeing communities, you know, like never before, going in and doing reuse. I mean, the greatest example there was the city of Wichita Falls during the drought of 2011, and Lake Arrowhead was down to 16%. And so they were very fortunate in that they had what's called a reverse osmosis facility that can treat salty water, and they'd been using it to treat the salty water from the Red River. They basically retooled it and took their wastewater treatment plant discharge, treated it, and put it back into the front end of their water supply. So recognized really across the nation for one of the first working direct potable reuse plants really in the nation, and then long-term they are doing an indirect potable reuse. So I think it's important to the agricultural community. I think it's important to people across Texas that some of these projects that, you know, we hear about are actually getting funded and they're moving forward. Many of you may recall that after House Bill 4, a number of sessions ago across the state, there was a huge support for moving $2 billion from the Rainy Day Fund into the State Water Implementation Fund of Texas to start implementing and funding some of the projects that were in the State Water Plan. And just, you know, very quickly to tell you kind of where we are on that, I think the vision was to move some of these projects forward across Texas so that, you know, people would be, if you will, kind of, you know, building that swing set in their own backyard and not looking, you know, maybe into rural communities in rural Texas in terms of getting their additional water supply. The success there kind of maybe starts with, in my mind, the integrated pipeline that's building out in the Dallas area, transferring water that already had water rights associated with it from one area to another. The work that is being done in North Texas to build the first major reservoir to be constructed in Texas in 30 years. The project that's ongoing with in San Antonio with the build out of their new inland desal plant, which kind of rivals in size the Kay Bailey Hutchinson plant that's ongoing right now in San Antonio. And then the largest water infrastructure project that is being constructed today in the nation is in Houston, where they're moving water from the Trinity over to Lake Houston and then building a massive treatment plant. So all examples of infrastructure to the tune of over $8 billion that's been committed by communities across Texas to look forward and to develop their own water supply. The other thing that we were hoped to see, and I think we're seeing this, is communities taking more of a responsibility, particularly in the metropolitan areas, to promote conservation. You know, I come from the oil and gas industry, and, you know, when I was working in the plant, if we were going to build a new processing unit to either run more crude oil or to make a different product, you'd put together the proposal, you'd go to the corporation, and the very first question they would always ask is, tell me how efficiently you're using the resources you already have. And that's really what conservation is about. And I think what we're seeing across Texas, because we're seeing this investment, is communities are they're shoring up their infrastructure. They're keeping those water molecules, you know, inside the pipeline and investing in infrastructure never before, like they've never done before. And so, again, for communities where, you know, particularly here, where water is such a precious resource, and you know it's so difficult to kind of think about what we're going to do moving forward to develop additional water supplies. It's so important that everyone take on that responsibility, and I definitely think we're seeing that. I did want to kind of brief you on programs that we've done for a number of years, and certainly there's been a wonderful partnership for the Texas Alliance for Water Conservation, and you know appreciate them putting on you know the forum that we have today. But many of you may recall that for years we've done up to about $600,000 in agricultural water conservation grants. That has been for demonstration projects. That's been for equipment cost share. During the last legislative session, and I think that was a very positive one, there were lots of things that were talked about in a very positive way about, you know, thinking about water. The rule was changed, and so now we can award twice as much in a year, up to $1.2 million. And so we'll be putting out those requests for proposals here very quickly. And so if a local groundwater district, if a political subdivision has a project that you want to work on, if you want to kind of, if you will, steward and champion equipment cost share, that's an excellent way to do it. And we've had great success with that program. You know, here locally, North Plains they've saved almost 9,000 acre feet of water by going out and committing $1 million for a loan program where producers can come in, they can borrow very low interest money and be able to put in more efficient water conservation equipment or more efficient equipment on their farms. And then High Plains, of course, did a project during our last go round of grant funding to put in telemetry again to get better data and better information to kind of target those areas where we can go out and kind of invest in water conservation. So I think there's some exciting things that are going on across the state. I think that in my mind, we definitely need to come up with a project that is for ag. It's not, as you well know, it doesn't kind of fit in with the typical model that the Water Development Board works with. I mean, we are also a bank. We loan money and provide a limited amount of grant money to small communities that are looking to build out their infrastructure. And I was earlier this morning, somebody mentioned Lochne. I was meeting with their city manager to talk about, you know, not only financing opportunities, but the importance of looking at alternatives moving forward in terms of water supply and kind of vetting those alternatives kind of moving forward. So very important in the role that we do in terms of helping not just the big cities, but the small communities, because again, if a small community in Texas is out of water, then Texas is out of water, and it impacts all of us, not just from the standpoint of, you know, we're all in it together. When one hurts, we all hurt. We're a big family. But also the way that, you know, from an economic development standpoint, Texas is looked at, so important that we take care of small communities. So moving forward, again, we have that model of where we loan money, but for ag, a little bit different model because you're all small businessmen. You all kind of go out and you have your own asset management plans. You have your own capital plan, your own investment plan. And so, you know, how can we go out and as a state help and assist the ag community to develop that next water supply, that water supply that, and then we're conserving, but, you know, is that produced water? I mean, Victoria stated that that's going to be a big topic. And I know that Chairman Perry has talked about that, and I think, you know, that's very much a reality. For the oil and gas industry, produced water is a byproduct, but they have to do something with it, or they basically can't run their operation. In different parts of the country, particularly Oklahoma, what they've seen is that sometimes that high rate at which they have to go into the disposal wells can cause seismicity issues. So if produced water becomes something where, you know, it's not just do I go to the disposal well or do I treat it and reuse it, but, you know, do I treat it or use it and not or not operate at all, then I think you're going to have a different set of economics, a different driver. And I think from a forward-thinking standpoint, in my mind, a lot of the oil and gas industry is looking at that and looking at ways that they can kind of get ahead of this and that we can be proactive instead of being reactive. So lots of thoughts and ideas that are out there, lots of opportunities, I think, across Texas, a lot of engagement, a lot of things that are going on positively, not just in the world of water conservation, but in alternative technologies. And we're in Texas, we're not just talking about it, we're doing it. Again, you know, $8 billion committed to new water supply projects, but more opportunity to look, particularly in the world of agriculture, in terms of what we can do for future water supply. Again, recognizing how important the role is that each and every one of you play each and every day. I'll be here, you know, for the rest of the day. In fact, I think there's some fields that we're going to go look at a little bit later, so I appreciate that opportunity. But any thoughts and ideas that you have either today or in the future, I really wish you would kind of reach out to me. That's the way, you know, things happen. That's the way that, because I'm just really convinced that, you know, how we're going to make an impact, those ideas are not going to come out of Austin. They're going to come out from the people who are in the field and her boots on the ground. So thank you so much for having me today. Thank you so much for everything that you do. And I'm happy to talk with y'all later or answer any questions that y'all might have.